All right. So we are talking about Justice League this morning. And I feel like Brian just likes when I preach because it's short. So all the rest of you are really happy whenever that happens. So I will try not to disappoint this morning. So Justice League, right, is a group of crime-fighting superheroes who all have been given these incredible powers of speed and strength and wealth, right? We heard in that. And each one is talented and fierce in their own unique way. We've got Wonder Woman, we have Cyborg, we have the Aquaman, Batman, the Flash, Superman. Right, each with these different abilities, but one common goal. And that's to stop the bad guys. I don't know if you guys caught in that trailer or not when Diana says to Bruce, the others, right, where are they? You see, because these superheroes are all fighting for the same things, right? They fight for goodness and justice and peace. But they don't work with others, right? They're all fighting their own wars on their own battlefields. They don't know where each other are, and some don't even know about each other, but something is coming. Something bigger than what that they could handle on their own. They need to find the others, right? They need to unite. So we can all agree on this idea of unity. Right, being for each other and sharing life with one another sounds good. When this idea comes up, we all nod our heads like, yeah, I can agree with that. I can get on board with that. But then something happens. Right, it stops at the idea and doesn't go any farther than that. I think that we can agree that unity is a good idea, but that we don't see it being put into practice all that much. In our churches, maybe even in our own church. Take a look at this clip of the Justice League members struggling with this idea of unity. So when confronted with this idea on uniting with Batman, the Aquaman pushes back. Right, saying, you're telling me what to do, just like everyone else. You're digging into my business, and the strongest man is strongest alone. Unity seems more like a chore than a blessing. And even goes to say that uniting is what got Superman killed. And sometimes we look at the church and we react the same way. They're telling me what to do or how to act, right? They're all in my business. I'm just fine on my own. I don't like people. People in the past have hurt me, and I'm never doing that again. I might step on some toes when I say this, but I don't think that this only happens in other churches. I think that this happens in ours. And I think that some of us, when confronted with this idea of uniting, with doing it with others in this community, it scares us, right? It makes us uncomfortable. We push back. But this idea that Aquaman alliterates with the strongest man is strongest alone has no truth. The fact is, this is just the opposite of how the first followers of Jesus were doing life, were doing church, and how they were operating. So I want you to take a look at Acts 2:42-47. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. The followers in the first church looked out for each other, right? It says they ate and they lived life with one another. And I hope you caught that in there when it says that they worshiped with one another and that they did it daily. So let me ask you something, and I know that it would be an impossible to meet with all of us here every day, but what about one person, one other family? How involved are you that you could say that you meet daily or weekly or monthly? Right, I have a feeling that not many of us could say that we know some of our fellow believers on a deep and personal level. And we could probably go into great detail right here as to why we aren't, or the things that are coming up, or the excuses that we have. Or I could make you feel guilty for not having done this, maybe in the past. But everything before this moment doesn't really matter. See, because a guilt-charged change only lasts as long as you feel guilty, which normally isn't forever, if maybe very long at all. What I'm interested in this moment right here is to give you an opportunity for a heart change, for a life change. I was at District Assembly this week, and most of you know that Jeremy and I were going through this process of being ordained on that Thursday night. And Thursday during the day, however, we did like a luncheon, and so we went and we got to talk with the others who were also being ordained and some of kind of the big shots on the district or in the Nazarene Church. And right after lunch, they told us, okay, there's going to be one more test. And I was like, I don't do well with tests, right? This next final task, and we're going to take you downstairs, and you're going to have like 30 seconds to answer some of the questions about some of the most important moments in your faith journey, like moments on how we were converted, how we were experiencing the Holy Spirit, how we experienced our calling. 30 seconds, go. No pressure, right? And I think most of you know that, like I said last time, this makes me nervous. That made me nervous. Right, my stomach flopped and it flipped and it twisted into a knot. And I was sweaty and I was nervous because something was happening. I thought back to that moment and it was the exact same. I thought back to the moment of this kind of Holy Spirit interaction. Ron Jackson was preaching, and he was speaking on sanctification, and he eventually gave this altar call. And in that moment, I went down. I was just as nervous as I was sitting in that room, maybe more so. My stomach flipped, and it flopped, and it twisted into a knot. And I walked, well, before I walked down, I remember thinking that something was telling me to go, something was telling me to change and to be molded, but I kind of froze. I was kind of hesitant because I knew that if I went down there, I had to give a piece of myself up that I was so used to being, so used to falling back on when times were stressful, and that for me was anger and jealousy and a quick tongue. And I knew if I went down there, I would never be the same. The way that I was used to fighting would be gone, and I was going to have to be okay with giving that up. I eventually went down, and that moment of obedience is what changed my life. It changed my life into the moment that I was answering that question for ordination. And that is the kind of moment that I hope that you experience. I hope that you have that. Maybe it's today when we talk about Justice League. Maybe it's tomorrow. But I hope that you have that moment of obedience that changes your life forever. Because God is calling you into something better. He's calling you to be more unified with him and with his people. So, while watching this movie, the pastor and me couldn't help but find 3 points relating to this idea of unity and why it matters. So this first point comes from this clip. And in this clip, Diana is meeting Cyborg for the very first time and trying to convince her, or to convince him to join forces with them. And Cyborg at first is like, no, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to be part of a team. I don't want to do anything like that. Just leave me alone. But slowly and surely, he kind of starts to get more curious about what they wanted, what was being a team kind of like. And so he decides to meet up. So why don't you take a look at this clip? All right, did you guys catch that? Diana says that being just half in isn't good enough. Right, you see, Cyborg didn't want to be all in. He wanted to just show up, but still be in the shadows. Be a part, but at the same time, be a spectator. I once lost someone I loved, Diana said, and she shut herself off from everyone for a long time, but that she's working on it. But why? Why would she be working on it? That's because she knew that being united makes us stronger. Hurts and disappointments can make us closed off and isolated, right? But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. I recently had the opportunity to go to camp with these teens, and something crazy happened. They all wore deodorant. No, I'm just kidding. But I think that did happen. We didn't have any smelly teens. Something crazy happened. I opened our group up for the first night, and I told them that we only had 3 days, right? 3 days to do life with each other. We only had 3 days to be authentic and real and raw with each other. And I argued that if we weren't willing to be real and raw, and share these deepest parts of ourselves, myself included, if we weren't willing to share that with each other, that true relationship and grace within that community couldn't happen. Because if we were to spend the entire time faking it, not getting into what was really going on with each other, I fully believe that growth can't happen. And during our time, I was obviously with the girls. 16 girls shared hurts and doubts and fears, real life stories of faith and hang-ups, and we united in that moment. Did everything turn out okay, right? Did every hurt get forgiven, every hang-up get solved. No. But we're working on it. I want what happened in that cabin room to happen here. I'm not asking for you to share everything all at once to every person in this room. But I need you to at least show up and be real. Tell us, tell one other person what's really going on right now in your faith, in your personal life. Be authentic and raw with the good and the bad. Start the process of healing and of growth, because being united in authentic relationship makes us stronger. In this next clip I'm going to play for you, everyone is together in the team, and they're going out for the first time. And they're going to save these people that Steppenwolf, the bad guy, has taken. And as they watch his brutality with them, this is how the Flash reacts. So in that clip, the Flash says, "It's cool that you guys seem ready to do battle and stuff, right? But full transparency, I've never done battle." And then we hear Batman say, "Save one." Sometimes community and community living can feel terrifying, right? Talking to others and sharing your life with one another is something that you've never done before, right? You've just pushed some people and run away. You've said hi in passing, or you've answered good, you know, when someone has asked how it's going, but you've been too afraid to share the inner parts, right? Maybe the ugly parts with people. The moments when you've struggled or you felt distant from God's love. You've not gotten close to anyone because up close is scary. In those moments, saving everyone looked like an impossible task to the Flash, but Batman stops him and says, "Save one. Just save one." So I want to challenge you this morning to be brave. Find one person, one family that you can start pouring into. Start living life with one another. Maybe you're already doing that. Bring someone or another family alongside of you. Alongside of you guys that you can all start to share life. You see, because it starts at one, but there are always more to be saved, like the Flash realized in that clip. There's always going to be more people that you can invite into relationship with, into this kingdom living with, into community. And like Batman pushed the Flash into becoming braver to save one, right? I hope that you understand that you can't let fear control you. You can't let fear stop you. Because Satan celebrates when we are separated. Too afraid to share with one another how we might get judged. They may not like us, right? They may think that we're weird because we call ourselves Christians. He cheers when we aren't living in unity because he knows that being united makes us braver. In my last clip, Batman and the others are fighting the bad guy and his bug creatures, right? And he tells the Flash to go and head east and save the civilians that were trapped in the area. And so he takes off, and pretty soon, Superman shows up hot on his tails to help him. Take a look. So if you guys were here last week, you guys got to hear Pastor Shauna talk about how we play this comparison game, right, with those around us. And she said something really important last week. She said there is always going to be someone better than you and worse than you. Here in this clip, we can see the Flash using his gifts and talents to the best of his abilities, right? And then he looks over and Superman is carrying an entire building. It's easy to get caught up in those around us that seem to be more gifted than us. But just because someone is doing more and doing more than you doesn't make your abilities or what you are doing less valuable. I bet if we were to talk to that little girl who the Flash saved of, you know, is what he did worth it? I have a feeling that she would say yes. Even if you are impacting one person at a time, what you are doing matters. You matter. Together, Superman and Flash saved all the civilians. I told the teens a while ago this story in Acts about a guy named Jason, right? But I am assuming, other than my teens, that not many of you have heard this story about Jason, right? In Acts 17, Paul and Silas are preaching, and they tell people about Jesus, right? They're sharing the good news of what Jesus has done. And some of the Jews were persuaded by them and joined them, and some, not so much. They kind of got a little angry. They were not happy about them being there. So pick up this story in Acts 17, 5 through 7. It said, "But some of the Jews were jealous. So they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. They attacked the home of Jason, searching for Paul and Silas so that they could drag them out to the crowd. Not finding them there, they dragged out Jason and some of the other believers instead and took them before the city council. Paul and Silas have caused trouble all over the world," they shouted. "And now they are here disturbing our city too. And Jason has welcomed them into his home. They are all guilty of treason against Caesar, for they profess allegiance to another king named Jesus." Jason was a nobody, right? He was an average guy like you or me. The one thing that was different about him, though, was that he was part of something bigger. He was united with a group who together were a force to be reckoned with. Together, it says, you know, they were causing trouble all over the world. Paul, Silas, Jason, the others, right? They all played a part. The fact of the matter is that when we can't be united, when we choose not to unite with each other, we can't have a great impact. We can't have as great of an impact by ourselves as we do in a group. We need each other. We can't function without you or you or you. Because being united makes us whole. Jeremy and the worship band are going to come, and they're going to play one last song for us in closing. And the song that they're going to play is called "The Church." And in this song, there are lyrics like, we are the change that the world is waiting for. We will lead, right? And now is the time. So while we're singing these words, I want you to think about how we could change the world by changing Fairlawn. Changing how we could love each other here. In that song, it says, to rise up and to carry hope and to shine and to show one another that mercy is alive. How can we do that here? Because once we can do that here, we can change the world. I'm going to pray for us really quick, and then Jeremy is going to lead us in this song. Lord, we thank you for today and for this opportunity to come together as a body of believers, as one united force in worship. Lord, I pray that if we've ever been too afraid to step out of our comfort zone in relationships, that we wouldn't wait. I don't want to say tomorrow I'll do it. I want today to be the change that Fairlawn has been waiting for. I want to be a people that knows about each other's struggles, that knows about each other's hope and faith and journeys. I don't want to look out and say, I don't know who that person is. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know who their family or who they're connected with. Lord, put a burden on our hearts for each other. And I pray that you would lead us into connection and authentic, real relationship with one another. So we pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts, that you would mold us, and that you would shape us into your people, into your kingdom people. And we pray this in your name. Amen.